Good morning, friends of Central Church. I welcome you. I'm Pastor Chris, and I greet you from the sanctuary. It's our hope that for these next few moments, wherever you are this morning, that it will be your sanctuary as we pray together and sing hymns and celebrate communion and hear the gospel preached. You might notice already that the format is a little different. It will resemble a little more of what you may remember when we all worship together here in this room. And it's all preparing ourselves for when we offer in-person worship again, August 23rd, upcoming. And of course, we will continue to offer a video form of worship for as long as we can anticipate if you feel safer and more secure at your home. Regardless, welcome. Today is a special day, being the first Sunday of the month, as we are going to celebrate together the Eucharist, one of our sacraments in the faith. And we hope that you would get a cracker, perhaps a piece of bread and some juice, and have it there with you so that when we consecrate the elements in a few minutes, that you will know that yours are consecrated as well, and we can all partake that together. Glad you are with us. And I'm delighted now to introduce Nora Francis, who will call us all to worship.
Please join me in the call to worship. Brothers and sisters, even if you're tired and worn out, lay down the heavy things that you are carrying and come and worship. Listen to what Jesus wants to tell you. See if you can discover how he wants to use you. For the Christ is humble and gentle, and he will give us everything we need to follow him. So let us come and worship.
Good morning, church. I would like to extend my personal welcome to all of you. Now, we're going to be singing. I'd like you to sing out, if you boldly would. If you can't, feel comfortable with that. I know you'll feel it in your heart as we sing this great hymn of praise.
Oh,
Thanks, everyone, for singing out. What a great hymn that is. I want to have a moment to speak to the children in the congregation, and big people are allowed to listen in. But kids, I'm thinking today about a story, a special story that I heard as a kid, and it's even way older than I am. It's one of the Aesop's fables, and it's about a tortoise and a hare. You ever heard that story? It's about the rabbit, another name for a hare, who challenged the turtle, another name for a tortoise, on a race one day, and they both headed off together. I've got a photo of it right here that shows them kind of at the starting line. And you see, you know, here's the hare, here's the tortoise. And they race each other, but the hare, the rabbit, is so full of himself, and he heads off running very fast, but he soon gets tired and lays down and takes a nap. But the tortoise is slow and steady, and he makes it all the way to the end, getting to the end of the race even before that rabbit did. Of course, the moral of the story is it's good to be steady in your life. Another way to say that would be sometimes slow is best. You know what I mean? Have you ever found slow to be a good way to approach something? What about eating an ice cream? It lasts longer if you eat it slowly. Or a great summer cookout meal in your backyard, savoring every bite. What about watching a sunset? You can't rush that, can you? That's about slowing down. Yeah, it's slow is important. Maybe a little bit of hurry can work for you sometimes. But today the theme, and Pastor Dale is going to talk about slow can be good in our life. Even in this time of a pandemic where we're on this quarantine, I see people rushing around crazy fast even now. There's a Bible verse that comes back to me over and over. It's from the Psalms in the Bible, Psalm 46. And one of the lines says, "Be still and know that I am God." Isn't that a great line? It's like from the voice of God. "Be still and know that I am God," says God. So here's my advice to you. In a world where we can stay anxious and all torn up in a hurry, it's so important to be slow sometimes, to learn from the tortoise, to take deep breaths, because then is when we most might know we are in the presence of God. Thank you. I miss you and look forward to seeing you in person.
Let us enter into a time of prayer. Slow me down, Lord. Ease the pounding of my heart. By the quieting of my mind, steady my harried pace with a vision of the eternal reach of time. Give me, amidst the confusions of my day, the calmness of the everlasting hills. Break the tensions of my nerves with the soothing music of the singing streams that live in my memory. Help me to know the magical power of sleep. Teach me the art of taking minute vacations, of slowing down, to look at a flower, to chat with an old friend, or make a new one, to pat a stray dog, to watch a spider build a web, to smile at a child, or to read a few lines from a good book. Remind me each day that the race is not always to the swift, that there is more to life than increasing its speed. Let me look upward into the branches of the towering oak and know that it grew great and strong because it grew slowly and well. Slow me down, Lord, and inspire me to send my roots deep into the soil of life's enduring values, that I may grow toward the stars of my greater destiny. And now please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Here below.
A reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 to 27. Jesus teaching about the Sabbath. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of the grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the Pharisees, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and he gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath." And another reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus offering grace in a harsh world. "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. It's good to be with you this morning, and I'm glad that we have this time together to gather around the gospel message, the good news message of God's love in Christ. So this morning's message is the last in our summer sermon series on the shape of a good life. And what I'm preaching about today is how we are shaped by the pace of life, which we keep. And what I mean by that is the balance and the rhythm of our lives. Now, before I go any further, let me offer a bit of a disclaimer, which is that I do a pretty poor job of what I'm about to preach on. Keeping a healthy pace has not always been my strong point, and I have to admit that I'm kind of addicted to busyness. In part, it's how I was raised, that you should always be doing something. I was brought up with the old adage, idle hands are the work of the devil. And while it's not necessarily true, something like that, I think, has fueled the pace of my life for the past 40 years. And now, here at age 61, I realize that I've been wound too tight for too long. Maybe a few of you can relate to that as well. So while I have not mastered what I'm about to preach on, I certainly know the importance of it, and I seek ever more the blessing of it. What I'm talking about is the blessing of a more holistic, more sustainable pace of work and rest and play and people, that it can all be found in better balance. And most importantly, that it can be held in step with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. How about you? Hey, let's start with this notion of balance, what it means, how we find it, how we find a life-giving pace in Christ. You know, in my past, I've had a couple of bouts with Lambertitis, this inner ear disorder, and it's very treatable, but it left me feeling out of balance, dizzy, and I'd bump into walls, or when I was driving my car, it was felt kind of like a roller coaster ride, not very comfortable at all. Feeling out of balance happens in other ways as well. If we're not careful, life can leave us feeling like we got a great big case of Lambertitis, where body and mind and spirit leave us worn and weary. Author Wayne Mueller writes, "In the relentless busyness of modern life, we have lost our rhythm of action and rest. The more life speeds up, the more we feel weary, overwhelmed, and lost. Despite our good hearts and our equally good intentions, our life, our work rarely feel light, pleasant or healing. Instead, it all piles endlessly upon itself, and the whole experience of being alive begins to melt into one enormous obligation. Wow. I wonder, do you ever feel that way? Life is driving you instead of the other way around? United Methodist Bishop Robert Snazy gets at this in his book, Balancing Act, and he does so by reflecting on the act of the tightrope walker. He says they step out onto that wire stretched tightly high above the ground between those two tall posts, carrying that long horizontal pole. Inch by inch, the artist gracefully moves across the wire. But whether dancing or walking, standing still, there's always a kind of a constant perceptible motion of teetering this way or that way, movements that represent the pull of gravity to one side or the other. And the offsetting of those forces with tiny corrections, adjustments in that long horizontal balancing pole, continuing, he says, from the first to the last step. In short, the tightrope walker never really is completely balanced, but is always balancing. Bishop Snazy reflects on that, saying, maybe we need to abandon our notion of a balanced life and to embrace the idea of balancing life. What a great distinction, right? We never really truly arrive at that perfect balance and pace of work and rest and solitude and community, striving and contentment. Life is constant movement, Snazy says. Forward stepping, sidetracking, detouring, self-correcting, getting a little lost and finding ourselves back on track with the help of our friends. This is also a matter of, it's a spiritual matter for us as well. You know, how we balance says a lot about who God is to us, what we believe God wants for us, and our openness to that life. And usually the best way to get back in step is to step aside for a moment, to step aside for a time, and to return then to the source of the good life we want, and to start again. In Christian circles, we use the word repent to describe that turning around, that turning back to God. Well, you know, this morning is an opportunity for you and I to do just that, to get back on track with God in Christ, and in whatever way it is that we need that. And we start by listening to the gospel, by listening to those teachings of Jesus, whom we call the way of balancing life, and to pray as we do that God's Spirit would lead us in that way. In the reading from Matthew's gospel, we hear Jesus inviting us to come closer and to return to God through him. And he offers us as well this rest, as he calls it, rest from anxious striving, and help as well for living a God-paced life. Come unto me, he says, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle. I'm humble of heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You and I hear these words in the context of the stress and the strain of 21st century life. We hear this in the context of a world where crazy things like pandemics happen and division and violence between neighbors rips at the fabric of community. We've had a lot of that lately. But life out of balance was also a thing, an issue, a challenge for people in ancient Galilee. They had their own struggles with finding hope and grace in difficult times. You see, Jesus is speaking here to those who have been left to feel disheartened by life, demoralized by life, as they lived under this heavy, oppressive burden of political and religious systems that weighed on them. Judaism of that day was filled with requirements for keeping laws and traditions, not bad things in and of themselves, but the weight of that could feel heavy upon those who were already struggling and carrying a lot of burdens. Religious leaders were taskmasters, as we heard in the text today, trying to keep this all together, trying to keep people in line. And because of that, many concluded that God must be a taskmaster too. Jesus, for his part, is pretty tough on those who tout obligation-based religion without that balance of God's compassion, mercy, and grace. And he's still tough on that today. And when it came to those who were hurting, though, Jesus is very clear. God is different. God is different. God is like that father in the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. God is like the woman searching for that valuable coin that she has lost. God takes initiative toward us, seeking us, finding us, making the move for us out of love and concern for us. Jesus is also speaking here to those who are suffering under the weight of Roman control and taxation, which really brought very little benefit in return. Actually, the opposite was true. The average peasant was scorned by the empire, which cared nothing for the burdens of their poverty. They were yoked like farm animals, if you will, with inequity to the empire. This morning on the Lord's table, you can see that yoke sitting there, which was an implement used to bring two animals together, join them together so they could work stride for stride in a field or pulling a wagon. But sometimes that yoke, when we think about it in terms of life, can be heavy upon us. Jesus, however, has compassion on them and invites them, as we hear, to try on a yoke of a different nature, one that he would give to them, one that he would share with them, one he gives to us, one he's willing to share walking alongside with us. A yoke that is lighter because it's formed with grace and compassion, a yoke that helps us keep our balance because, as we say of the Christ, he is with us in it. A yoke that gives us rest, too, because when we need it the most, Christ carries us. Now, let's be clear. This isn't Jesus promising to take the harshness of the world away. No. But his is a yoke that makes it bearable because we are in this yoke with the one who is the Lord and the giver of life. I think what Jesus is really inviting us to is the practice and the gift of Sabbath, to stop, the meaning of that word, to stop our anxious striving for more of what can fill our egos or our deficits, more of what fills our homes and garages and wallets, and to return to that place, to return to that place where life is good simply because it's a gift of God, and that's enough. Sabbath, that regular time and practice of resting with God, really is the great shaper, balancer of our lives. It is that one practice that can stop us in our tracks and teach us again what's most important, who is most important. And I will tell you, without that, we forget it very quickly, even as we delude ourselves that our pace is just fine. In the other scripture reading today, we hear how the Sabbath day had turned into a law that had lost its grace, how it had turned into a thou shalt not day instead of a day of rest, a day to rebalance life. As you heard, Jesus says to those religious taskmasters, remember, the Sabbath was made for you. The Sabbath was made for us. How about you? Do you ever wish you had a better pace in life where work and rest and play could be held together in a better balance? More time maybe just to be with God, talk, pray, reflect, wonder, imagine with the Spirit. Maybe more time to do those two or three things that you know God has laid on your heart to do, that you alone are called to do, but never really have time to do because your life is so busy. Or maybe you fear that change. Would you like to be able to lay your burden down? your worry, your anger, your compulsions, your hurt, and take Christ up on this offer of his. Now, I know it's one thing to name these kinds of aspirations, but how does this happen? How do we do this? Well, so you know, something I named in the beginning of this sermon series was the idea of simplification or simplicity of life. And by that I mean to let go of some things in order to have more room, time, energy for other things. What's most important, what really matters to you and what God really wants for us. And what that means then is we spend some time examining, with Spirit's help, how we do use our time, our energy, our money. You know, where our focus is placed, what we think about the most, what consumes us, what do we shy away from? Even what are those two or three important things that God has laid on our hearts? What might that look like for you? Lastly, friends, as Christ followers, we always balance the inner life and outer life. It's a very Methodist thing to say that, because Wesley was one to talk about having that balance of acts of devotion toward God, along with deeds of mercy. It's important to hold those in balance. How do we do that? How do we make room then as well for the outer life, the needs of neighbor, the space to serve them? We ask, where in our day are we offering grace and rest to a burdened neighbor? Where are we working yoked with Christ to offer hope in tangible ways? Now, I get it. I know that many of us, probably most of us, are doing our best just to keep it all in balance, to keep Christ at the heart of it all. Some days, maybe most days, there's not a lot of wiggle room for aspirations and new patterns and new paces. But this is what I will say to you. Life is too busy, and life is too draining to not make time in our own balancing act for Christ and the grace of his yoke. And so I say to you today, my friends, may your pace honor the one who gives you life. May your yoke with Christ shape you more into his image and bring you joy along the way. May it be so for all of us. Amen. It's good that we can come into a time of Holy Communion together, Eucharist, meaning thanksgiving for the loving sacrifice of Christ, the Lord's Supper. As has been mentioned, we've asked you to set aside some bread, a cracker, some juice, that it might be part of our time of consecration of the elements, so that as we partake in this time together, we can know that we're blessed with the real presence of Christ. We are allowed to extend the table when we are not able to be together, and that's exactly what we're doing until that time when we can gather here safely and share in communion in this space.
So we hope you have your juice and bread close to you as we tell again the story of liberation, and upon hearing it and receiving the sacrament, we might all set a new pace. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord. It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right, and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You shared with us your spiritual image, gave us the breath of your holy life, and placed us in the garden of your universe to care for and live in it. But we failed your calling, turned our backs on your presence and sought after our own understandings. We denied your will and instead fought to establish our dominance over our fellow human beings, even going so far as to deny the presence of your image within each other. Oh, empower us to turn our backs upon this life of sin, most gracious God, and further grant that we will reach out to our sisters and brothers in the body of Christ as we join together with your children in all generations and in glory everlasting to sing the angelic hymn, Holy, 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 Holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
O holy and gracious God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to share our human condition, to live as one of us and express your love to all by teaching, preaching, healing and leading, dying and rising. We thank you for coming to be among us, for sharing with us the heart of your transforming love and acceptance, and for giving us your amazing presence through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, having heard your word proclaimed and having offered our prayers as your people, we now gather around this your table to be reunited with your Son and with each other, sharing the bread of heaven and being fed by your holy, mysterious, real presence.
And so we remember, on the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus, our rabbi, teacher, took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat. This is likened to my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when that supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is likened to my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again.
We pray you'd pour your Holy Spirit on us gathered together on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his love. By your Holy Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in a final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Oh, by Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in unity of Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And the church says together, amen.
Now, wherever you are, may it be your sanctuary. Partake with us. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and then we will sing.
We offer our Together by grace we witness and work, remembering Jesus in whom we grow strong. Together we serve in spirit and truth, remembering love is the strength of our song.
You'll have that taste on your mouth of liberation and freedom that Christ means for us in the Eucharist. I also want to take a moment to thank so many, including the camera crew and other volunteers who are helping pull off this worship production, and the many ways you have shown your care for the church, words of encouragement to the staff, and the ways you continue to underwrite financially what we think God is calling us to be about in this community. Please continue to underwrite this as we hope to get back to the normal that we recognize someday soon. I want to send you out with this blessing. Go now and live in the spirit of this holy meal we've just had. Even when your life leads you into wild and hard places, with repentance and trust, let's give ourselves again and again to God. Strengthen yourselves against forces that would have you lose your way. So in the name of God, the Creator, who formed you and loves you with a tough love, in the spirit of Jesus the Christ, who keeps showing up by our side when we will notice it, and Spirit, who is never done with us, continuing to provoke our conscience and our compassion, go in great peace. We look forward to seeing you again.